I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. I'm your host, Rod. Joined as always by my co-host,
Karen.
We're live on a Monday, ready to do some podcasting.
Yes.
Quick and dirty style. The official weapon of the show is?
Phone chair.
And an unofficial sport?
Bullet ball.
A bullet ball extremo. That's right. I say it in Spanish now as well. Banter?
No.
All right. Then I'll banter you.
Okay.
Psycho.
Music.
Let that one play a couple extra seconds. That was tight. Let's see. Psycho Music. That name of that one was Good Life Remastered. Dope. All right. So quick banter. Okay. Go ahead and get into it. Number one, I burned lunch. The lunch was a disaster today. I share my wins with the timeline. I got to share my L with the timeline sometimes, y'all.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, number one, I've been getting the meals based on like certain nutritional values, and which is fine, you know, except that Karen apparently decided this year she no longer eats salads that are leafy. So no kale, no spinach, nothing like that. So I have to kind of take that in consideration, and because if I make it, she won't eat it. So, and I prefer to get something that I just, that we both eat all of it. So I got the meal and didn't realize it had that leafy salad. So I was like, shit. Well, already I know that Karen's not going to eat that. And it was
I
like
the other stuff.
It was spinach and grapes and all this stuff, whatever. But it was chicken that's just chicken breast. And then it was half toast that you garlic, you basically make garlic bread out of like ciabatta or whatever that bread is called. It said broil for 2 to 3 minutes. I said cool. I got the oven up to broil. I oven fucking heat slow as hell, but once it got up there, was it broiling? I put it in, and our oven is normally actually a little bit low for the temperature it says it's gonna be at, but I think broil just has high, so it's like, what else are you gonna do?
Okay, right.
Anyway, I fucking did something. I don't know what I did, because I thought it's just 2 minutes. Or what? I don't know if I didn't set a timer, or if I just thought, oh, I'll leave it in another minute. Whatever happened, I opened up that motherfucking shit, y'all.
It don't take long.
It was on fire.
Ooh.
One of the slices of bread was, it literally looked like some comedy out of like a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Yeah, bro, don't be fucking around, bro. It's like, bitch, I meant hot right now.
I had no fucking idea.
Bro, it's like, I am not the oven. I only flame the top.
So, you know, so I knew I couldn't make the salad. Then the bread was fucked up. I made the chicken perfectly, but
oh, that chicken was, it was flames.
Just a chicken, it was just a chicken breast.
And I so put them in the wraps. It was good.
We have some, in case of emergency, Paul Newman's own pizzas. Thin crust here. And there was a pizza style that was like on clearance in the Newman Zone. It was white. It was the white sauce, spinach, and cheese. So it's not like your traditional type of pizza. Now, the other kind of pizza was still whatever the shit they call.
Regular price.
But this shit was $2.50.
That mean they was not selling them bitches.
So I bought one just on like, because first I said, oh no, this shit, $2.50, I put it back. And then I thought about it, I was like, I mean, worst thing can be is bad.
Right.
Now, my secret to making pizzas, that frozen pizzas in the house, is I take a little bit of shredded cheese and sprinkle it on top of the cheese, because it's never enough cheese to me.
Right.
And once you do that, then the pizza it increases dramatically. And, yo, that pizza was actually pretty good.
It was.
I was surprised. I thought it was going to be trash, but I said, I fucked up lunch for $2.50. I can fix it. And you know what? Good job, Numazone.
Yes, that chicken was good. We had some Chipotle wraps, and I wrapped that chicken up, and it was delicious.
Yeah, whole wheat Chipotle taco wraps, like tortillas. Mm-hmm. Black folks, I just really hope we don't fall for this Candace Owens rebrand.
Taboo. I hope not.
I really hope we don't. Because I'm starting to see...
She still don't like us.
I'm starting to see it trickle out in the timeline a little bit. And it's not... A lot of people, of course, are like, fuck her, I don't like her, blah, blah, blah. They're sharing this one clip from The Breakfast Club of her going on there and like... I forget. Jess Hilarious asking her, you know, do you know, can you finish this sentence? God is good. And then her being like, where's that from? And then she being like, can you finish this sentence? God is good. And she's like, amen. And then they were like,
God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Right. That's how you finish that sentence.
So they basically, you know, maybe use that moment to show like, mm-hmm. hey, she actually is not part of the culture. But who knows? I doubt the whole interview was like that. Mm-mm. Because my guess, they're going to do comfortable, nice soft shoe interviews. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Softball interviews. I'm sorry. Right.
And depending on what generation you are in, you ask some people that and they could be black as hell and be like, who?
So I feel like it's legitimizing her. She went on Joe Budden's podcast, is getting into the right dummies, like feeds for them to be like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, I like, she was making sense, or she's not as bad as I thought. And of course, you slide her into legitimacy, and she's trying, it seems, to make a pivot to a black audience. But a grifter like that has no morals or quibbles, and mm-hmm. I think she will not completely, but drop a lot of the racial stuff up against black people and slowly reintegrate it if she can find some black dummies that'll come over there and support her.
Yeah, and the second somebody, white or other, come pick up, she'll leave us again, mm-hmm. quote unquote. So, no, I don't trust her, never have, never will. You know, it's just one of them things where I go, okay, you know, you might can fool them, but you won't fool my black ass.
Yep. All right, we can get into the show. Diddy's Los Angeles and Miami homes have been raided by Homeland Security.
Oh, shit. What happened? Why?
Why? I'm sorry. Was I the only one on the episode when we read the Cassie allegations?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
Of sex trafficking and rape and
okay,
all that stuff?
Okay.
Why you think Russell Simmons is in Bali? Because he liked Bali?
No.
Because once the feds find out, it's different. You can't be in America.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know why I didn't piece that together. I'm sorry. I didn't know that the fed was going to be like, okay, let's start right now.
I don't blame you. It's like, when did we start taking black women seriously? So I hear you.
Okay. So I can't be the only one lost. Thank you.
At the start of the week, Diddy's Los Angeles and Miami homes were swarmed by Homeland Security agents. The armed officers included helicopters ahead and plenty of police entering the properties. While no official statements have been released, TMZ reports that the massive police presence across multiple states is likely linked to his multiple sex trafficking allegations. Even more troubling about this raid is that two of Diddy's sons were seen in handcuffs outside of his Los Angeles home.
Oof.
Demon time indeed. It's unclear why they were detained.
So they got an additional information, like somebody been researching and digging. Because mm-hmm. them niggas don't come bust your house up for no reason.
It's unclear why they were both detained, but both young men have been mentioned in their father's legal cases. At least one woman has accused the brothers of helping recruit girls to attend some of Diddy's drug-fueled parties. In one of Diddy's lawsuits, a woman claimed the bad boy mogul trafficked and raped her when she was a teenager in high school. She provided photos of herself sitting on Diddy's lap in his recording studio. Another lawsuit filed by Rodney Lil Rod Jones claims Diddy tried to groom him into sex. It also states he was subjected to a multitude of sexual harassment incidents from a family member of Diddy's younger girlfriend, Young Miami, and Cuba Gooding Jr. Additionally, Jones has stated that Diddy did not pay him for his work on his Love album. These and similar filings have poured in since the producer was sued by Cassie. In December, she claimed he sexually abused her, raped her, physically abused her during the relationship. Yeah, it's funny because, not funny, but ironic, I guess, he didn't pay when that happened. And she ended up filing, and even though he later paid and that seemed to settle, it didn't really matter because the allegations were out there and people heard those allegations and went, that's true. Like, people didn't hear those allegations and go, well, he'll get his day in court. Let's hear him out. You didn't see a lot of, you know, hey, I know Diddy, he would never. It was like people were like, oh, this is everyone knows this is true.
Wow. Yeah. And what's crazy, him and the WWE dude, just he got ball busted up because he didn't want to pay.
Right. And then, you know, the real problem with this story for me on social media is what happened with this story has not really been about Puff Daddy as a predator or an abuser or a sex trafficker. Everyone really is just laughing at the allegations he might be gay. Like, instead the stuff with Meek Mill is funny to people because they might be gay. It's one of the few times you can share funny memes of ha 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 gay people and no one's going to accuse you of homophobia right now. I haven't participated in any of this shit because I find it to be just thinly veiled, remixed homophobia. Like, right. Now we can make jokes about, you know, how gay dudes look and act and stuff and make a bunch of, like, pictures of, like, take candid pictures from parties and stuff and be like, oh, you know why Meek Mill was looking at Diddy like that, because he was gone, you know, and that kind of shit. And that's always, like, a tough pill to swallow, because as a funny person, I like being funny, but that's something I don't really find to be that clever or funny. It just... Right. You know, it's kind of like lowest common denominator. I feel like the end of the day, the joke is gay dudes, right?
Yes, that's the joke. And it's also, you know, one of the things where somebody like me, you know, because you hear things, but it's just one of those things, like you say, when it broke, I was like, I don't know. This could be true, but I guess people around him, people in the industry, there's a lot of people that have heard a lot of different things. You know, different people have different levels of relationships with people, and he's such a staple of the industry, and it seems like a lot of people have been impacted by this. Some may come out, some might never come out, you know, depending on who they are and things like that. And so, you know, for some people, some of these things, they literally might be hearing for the first time, because, you know, people just... don't keep up with people like that. You know, not trying to be funny. So for them, they was like, wow, that's crazy. And I hope he ain't do it. And they just kind of move on. But then when you start hearing these other stuff, you go, oh, he might have did some of this shit, because too many people are just coming out of the woodworks.
Yeah, it was just interesting because he was kind of the first person in a long time that people been like, he did it. But a lot of the he did it, I feel like, is just them being like, I want to call him gay.
He, I can see that.
Like, what they're really saying is not he did what he's accused of, but it's also he's gay. I've been, you know, like, it's the reason I never got down with 50 Cent talking about Puff Daddy, because he was never really talking about Puff Daddy and this stuff here. He was basically being like, he's gay. He will try to have sex with you. He wanted to take me out and go shopping so he could fuck me. Like, that, like, even then, because a lot of these dudes are kind of predators of a feather, where they don't have a problem with the idea of, you know, necessarily abusing or treating women like shit. The problem is you could be gay, and that's where the ridicule comes in. And I don't know, that's bothered me, and I'm you know, for a while, this undercurrent, I just haven't talked about it, but it definitely feels like that's what a lot of this is. You know, if he would have just done it to Cassie and the girl or whatever, it'd be like they would be defending him. But once a man accuses him and throws other men in it, it's like, oh, now it's a who's gay party. Drake appears to respond to Kendrick Lamar diss on Like That. You know how I'm feeling. You know what? This will be easier to find on Twitter. Oh, there it is. All right. So, yeah. So, how do you think he responded, Karen?
Drake.
Kind of dismissing it, kind of. Okay, that's kinda what he does.
In a song.
Yeah, he rapped about it.
You think he rapped about it? Well, he didn't. He didn't rap about
it. Well, he sung about it.
He talked about it at his concert.
Okay.
A lot of people ask me how I'm feeling. I'm going to let you know how I'm feeling. Listen, the way I'm feeling.
First of all, he's dressed like he killed Voltron. What is going on with these pants? Or this jumpsuit. I'm sure it's richer than anything I've ever driven, but it's
right.
Just
like a NASCAR driver.
Right? Like what is he wearing right there? That is crazy.
Driving man. Honda number 54 in the left lane.
This is why I'm glad not to be cool. Cause I can't put this on to take myself serious. I'm not cool enough.
It's the same way I want you to walk out of here feeling about your fucking self. Cause you know how I'm feeling? I got my fucking head up high, my back straight, I'm 10 fucking toes down in Florida, anywhere else I go.
He looks like the top is a surf, is something like Marvel puts on you.
He almost looks AI generated.
The top looks like something Marvel puts on you before they put the
little red
costume on you.
Yeah, before they put them white balls on you to kind of track
right.
Movements.
What Zachary Levi wears underneath his Shazam costume.
Yes!
That's what it looked like.
He does, and I guess because the background's so black, that's why it looks like that.
But as you can hear, he ain't really saying Kendrick's name, and he ain't rapping.
Anywhere else I go, and I know that no matter what, it's not a nigga on this earth that can ever fuck with me in my life. And that's how I want you to walk out of here tonight. But in order to, you know, get yourself all gassed up, riled up, and move towards the future, sometimes you gotta acknowledge the mistakes that you made in the past, right? 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 So this is what I want you to do. Everybody in here.
I don't know what that last. I think that last part must be him about to introduce one of them songs.
Yeah, transitioning or something like that.
I wish they probably can't leave it in for copyright. But it'd be funny as hell if it ended with that. So no matter what, man, this is what y'all got to do. After you just said all that hard ass shit, and he's like, "You used to call me on my cell phone." like after he's just like, "No nigga on this earth can motherfucking fuck with me, okay? Don't you ever in your life." But sometimes you got to live with regret. "You used to call me on my cell phone." Lean in when you need my
sir,
love.
Sir, if you're not going to dress this in a rap, what are we doing?
Right?
Maybe that I'm old school. If you ain't going to put it to a beat, address it in a rap, why address it at all,
this
sir?
This is the most light-skinned response to what the fuck Kendrick did.
You was like, "I'm mad." Oh, okay, all right. Are you going to respond in a rap, sir? Where's the beat drop? If not, well, you just sound like you're ranting on stage.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. They said, you know, the beauty of it is there's really no angle that you can go at Kendrick in a battle because, I mean, he's doing great in so many areas and he's better at rapping than you. And, you know, like, there's just, you know, he doesn't have any major scandals, you know, that kind of thing, right? And I said, oh, there's one way he could go at this. There's one way he could win. He got to go primal and he got to go with colorism. It's the only way out. You got to go with colorism. You got to let the good hair down, in quotes, good hair. You got to sing to them. You got to, you know, go completely, you know, like I look better than you and the girls like me more than you. And I think,
if it's in rap, let's go. But
I think
I think
that's the only way Drake can come back at him. Yeah, I mean, you got to put in a video or rap, of course. But I'm saying if you're going to respond. What I know you can't do is this bullshit, this TED Talk, this Instagram model IG post.
Right.
Like, you can't, this ain't no motherfucking.
Sir, and you didn't even call his name out, sir.
Don't let nobody ever feel like you, like, man, come on, dog. You got.
Is this for you or the audience?
And it's a rap beef.
Right.
Like, it's not even the end of the world. Like, of the people to beef with in rap, hip hop right now. Kendrick has to be near the top of the won't get you shot list.
All right.
Which is an important list.
Yes, it is.
Because there's a lot less competent rappers that maybe even me and you could beat in a rap battle. But I'll be a goddamn fool for I'll say a word about them boys because they shoot people.
You got it, homie.
Like, you can say
something. I'm embarrassed and I will take my black ass back where I came from.
You can say something about Kendrick and show up in his hood and still be cool because y'all going to just keep it rap.
Keep it rap.
You know what I mean? When he's talking about, like, a K with nines, we know that he's metaphorically talking about guns. But the what he's doing is that lyrical stuff that, you know, it's like back in the 90s, rappers used to say lyrical in front of everything, and that mean it wasn't real. And so you could be like, I will lyrically shoot you in your face. And it's like, oh, he's not going to shoot me in my face. He's saying lyrically he will shoot me in my face, which means he won't at all. I feel like that's what K-Dot does when he raps about you. He's not going to actually hurt you or kill you or hurt anyone you love. He's just saying, lyrically, I'm going to hurt your feelings, so don't say shit back. And they don't want to. I don't think Drake's going to say anything back.
And this is about to be all you hear him say to even address it. And you know, at the end of the day, as long as nobody say anything else, everybody will go on about their lives until somebody else says something and drops something about Kendrick. And Kendrick, if Kendrick feels like it, he'll address it. If not, he'll move on.
I think if they say something back, Kendrick has worse things that he does want to say.
Yes.
That is, I think it's a setup. I think both of them would be wise to let it go.
And he got some fire ass beats.
I know that's
features that he probably got already drummed up.
I'm just saying, I know that's not hip hop to say don't battle, but I think this is the new NBA. Niggas don't dunk on each other like that during the All-Star game. Mm-mm. So maybe don't say shit, you know, unless you. I wouldn't say shit if I wasn't prepared to go to battle with this man.
Right.
And possibly lose because he's not soft. Anyway, Drake said, you know, he's motivate yourself. All right.
I guess.
Honey Boo Boo is upset, Karen.
That baby 21, 22 old, that baby now. That baby grown.
Georgia reality stars Alana Honey Boo Boo Thompson and Mama June Shannon are making headlines again after the teenager questioned her mother about where the money for her TV appearances went.
Oh, she's a teenager? Okay.
I don't know how old she is.
No, you just said she...
I don't know if 18, 19, 15. Oh, okay. I don't know. That's the Masked Singer and part of the Dancing with the Stars money, Shannon explained. Shannon and Thompson appeared on the Masked Singer together at the Beach Ball in 2021. Oh, as the Beach Ball in 2021. Thompson appeared on Dancing with the Stars Juniors in 2018. There should at least be six figures in that account, Thompson said. Child. Something's not adding up. My money is somewhere. It needs to be found right now, ASAP, because this is not going to work.
Child, your money is gone, baby.
In the clip, Shannon goes on the defensive claiming the money is so low because of taxes. I can't help that there's not more money. Taxes were took out automatically at 50%. She goes on to say that because of the money Thompson has made from being on TV, she has essentially been paying your own bills since you were the age of 12. Shannon goes on to say that Thompson should be grateful for the money she does have. That's a hell of a lot more than most 18-year-olds start off their life with, Shannon said. Yeah, but I've been on TV since I was six, and now I have what to show for it, Thompson replied. I wonder if this clip was like for a TV show or something they're promoting.
Wouldn't that be surprising?
Oh, yep. In a sneak peek of Mama June Family Crisis.
Yeah, because they've had several TV shows.
You know what? Game is to be sold, not told. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
They probably fine. You know? Like they just selling another thing that we'll watch of their lives. And we will watch Honey Boo Boo be mad at her mama. The money is gone. Even if the money ain't gone, and even if it's all made up, we all get to judge them. And that's what it was always about in the first place.
Yes, it was.
Let's see. How about this? Euphoria series has been delayed. Cast members are free to pursue other opportunities. Yeah, Euphoria has Sydney Sweeney and Zendaya in it. Then that one dude who passed from the drug overdose, it was kind of over anyway. I didn't even watch the second season. I know that's y'all shit. I'm not dissing y'all or whatever. But they blew up. Zendaya and Sydney Sweeney blew up.
It's probably hard to tie them down, right?
Yeah, they doing movies and shit now.
It's going to be hard to kind of get them to come and do that.
And also with HBO not being committed to anything for real.
Right.
Like, they'll tell you like, oh yeah, you get another season, but they could completely sell you out in that season and be like, yeah, fuck that.
Right, after you done cleared your schedule. And a lot of them was like, no. I would not be surprised if Zendaya and them was like, look, if HBO don't make a commitment that we're going to record, I'm not wasting my time. I will continue to book my scheduling like normal.
Yeah, they say they're going to try to bring it back in 2025, and the cast still has contracts and all that shit. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Between 9 and 10, HBO can be like, fuck it, you don't know.
Yeah, that's... But, of course, they can pursue other opportunities, you know?
Yeah, you gonna wait another year. No, bitch.
A NYC firm is accused of sex toy bootlegging.
How you bootleg sex toys?
Maybe the same way you make them bootleg condoms.
Oh, no.
A manufacturer of fantasy-themed sex toys has accused an upstart Brooklyn, New York firm of knocking off its distinctive designs. According to a federal lawsuit alleging that the defendant has infringed on the copyright for dildos such as Spritz the Sea Dragon and Tyson the Water Buffalo.
Oh, shit.
In a March 20th complaint filed in the U.S. District Court in Arizona, Bad Dragon Enterprises contends that its sculptural products have been illegally copied by Sin Saint, which is headquartered in a Coney Island warehouse and advertises ethically manufactured toys made in Brooklyn, USA.
What does that even mean?
So is Coney Island in Brooklyn, or I don't know the rules to that. Bad Dragon, which noted that it has had significant commercial success in the adult toy field, alleged that Sin Saint has been selling the duplicative dildos through its website and other trade channels, including the recent Avian Adult Entertainment Expo in Las Vegas, where the new firm's exhibitor booth was next to that of an all-new Paloma strip club. The lawsuit identifies 13 separate dildos that Bad Dragon claims have been copied and renamed by Sid Saint.
13.
The unlucky 13. They said the colorful silicone toys feature scales, tentacles, suction cups, and other design elements meant to mimic the genitalia of dragons, sea creatures, or other fantastical creatures.
That shit sound dangerous. That shit sound like that'll cut you. What is we doing here?
Sound like hentai. And I don't know about you, but that didn't sound dangerous necessarily. I mean, it's not claws, it's suction cups, you know, tentacles. They don't have to be dangerous.
Okay. I got to see what it looked like first.
Some of the Bad Dragon products from Sin Saint that Sin Saint is accused of swiping are Kelvin the Ice Dragon.
Not the Ice Dragon?
Resurrected, all right.
That ice. Too cold.
Stan the T-Rex.
I'm not Stan.
Virgil the drippy dragon. The drippy dragon.
Shit, he gonna make you drip, girl.
Sin Saint has not been accused of pirating other Bad Dragon offerings like Jason the Demogorgon or Cuttlefish of Cthulhu.
That shit sound like it's on the anime.
According to the lawsuit, Sin Saint's counsel last month stated that the company has begun removing some of the allegedly infringing listings for product redesign. This response, Bad Dragon contended, was unacceptable, adding that it continues to be harmed by the defendant's ongoing unlawful conduct. So, yeah, they're trying to get them out of there. For more than a decade, Bad Dragon has sought trademark and copyright protection for various product lines. While often successful, the firm's application to trademark its cum tube was abandoned after a government attorney rejected the ejaculating dildo because the applied for mark consists of or includes immoral or scandalous matter. The application includes a very not safe for work image, which can be found in the U.S. Patent Trademark Office website. Mm. All right. Well, listen, whatever gets you off, and just sex work is work, and it's copyrighted work, so mm-hmm. you can't just steal people's designs.
Get the original, because I would want to, particularly when it comes to sex toys, don't get the generic.
Let's see what else we can do. You know, maybe we do some broke news, okay? We broke, fry broke.
We ain't got it.
That's right. Let's talk about broke, all right, after we play another one of these beats. All right. Broke. Podcast firm that went viral for missing payments files bankruptcy. The podcast firm Cast Media filed Chapter 11 after accusations of not paying their talent. Comedian Theo Von is owed almost $500,000.
Ooh, child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting because, like, a lot of the talent, you know, they said they kind of stayed quiet for a while, you know.
Oh,
and
we talked about this a while ago, didn't we?
I think you talked about it personally.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm.
And so it now says it owes nearly $6.4 million to dozens of creditors, while its assets are worth $700,000. The list includes millions owed to podcast creators, including Jess and Evan Ambrose, the host of Your Mom and Dad podcast, who are owed $478,000. This past weekend, host Theo Von, who's owed $456,000. And Jason and Clarissa Weiser's Bardic Enterprises, creators of Myths and Legends podcast, owed $381,000. I got to say, man, white podcasts be making money.
Yes, they do. It'd be a lot of money thrown at them. And some of my big podcasts, and then some of them ain't that big. They just know, because they white, a lot of times people would just give them the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, I guess they didn't get it. You know, so they owed a lot of money, but that was a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. That's people's salaries and budgets. You know what I'm saying? And shit like that. Like I'm not hating, but you know, you budget certain shit off of that, and we did talk about, because what's fucked up. Somebody actually, it was like a white dude, and he went public. He made a video like, yeah, fuck them.
Yeah, and also what's interesting too is like, this isn't the total value of the podcast. Probably it's probably like, you know, what they expected. This is like what the company pays you after they make a certain amount of money off your podcast.
Right.
So who knows what they're really making. But yeah, Sarah Silverman owed almost $300,000 for the Sarah Silverman podcast. Like, it just goes down the line. Dude. So yeah, man, they ain't have it. And I wonder if this is a statement about the industry and just the bubble of podcasting and podcast advertising and how things are starting to come to a head. And, you know, like, you know, check. Hopefully the all the homies that are getting a check from somebody continue to get that check.
Right. And the thing is, once a lot of the outside industry started kind of dipping in, and their businesses, and they want to make profits. So they have all these quote unquote business models and how they could do this and how they could do that. A lot of times they come in these industries and they don't know a goddamn thing about these industries and how they run and how to actually be profitable in it. So they try shit and try different things and see if they work and see if they don't work and things like that. And a lot of times in certain situations, depending on the size of the company and shit, a lot of times it's not profitable at all for nobody involved. But you still need to pay these people because you promised these people certain things.
Yeah, but if they ain't got it, they ain't got it.
Right.
Pizza Hut restaurants in California could lay off thousands as the minimum wage law goes into effect. Yeah, this is the new thing, is if we're going to have to pay people a higher minimum wage, then we're going to have to just, like, cut the amount of people that work. Now, I don't know if they went through with this, but this is what, of course, all the companies did threaten.
It's a scare tactic, all jokes aside, because they're not going to not allow their business to run. Like, let's just keep that real. Like, they say that to get people scared so people to panic and people to take less pay. Fuck them. They got it. They got the five. Pizza Hut got the five, y'all. And so they just don't want to, quote unquote, pay it, you know. And so they will find a way to keep their shit up and running. They will. They're just, and my thing they're saying is that not that some people won't lose their job, but it ain't gonna be this quote unquote massive cut that they claim is gonna be just to scare people to take less money. Because a lot of states have done this, and guess what? They're just fine. They're functioning just so we know this shit works. People just don't want to give up that coin.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they saying they ain't got it.
I don't believe you, Pizza Hut. All the bazillions of dollars you made last weekend through people watching the tournament, I don't believe you.
Karen doesn't believe you, Pizza Hut.
Mm-mm.
Just for last, files for creditor protection says the 2024 festival will not take place. Just for Laughs is a comedy institution.
That's big time. So been many doing comedians. It for decades, haven't they?
I don't know how long. You just be saying stuff.
Oh, well, I go check.
Yeah, you just be saying stuff, and then you try to make me co-sign the stuff.
Let me check. I'm sorry.
Like, and then I get the email. I don't know. I'm just reading the article like you. They're probably going to tell us within this article how long it's been going on.
No problem.
It was founded in 1983. So, yeah, that's decades. That's 41 years. Well, 40 years exactly, because they ain't having it this year.
Ah.
Yeah, they said... unfortunately, the 2024 edition of the Just for Laughs Festival will not take place, at least not at the same time in the same form as it customarily has. Once the restructuring is complete, we hope the festival will take place in 2025. So,
I wonder what happened.
The global pandemic forced us to effectively cease operations for 2 years with significantly declined revenue while carrying nearly all of the associated overhead costs. The pandemic was followed by inflationary times we continue to experience, meaning our cost structure decreased appreciably, exerting unprecedented financial strain. This is to me, this is the same thing we're talking about with this is the same thing we were talking about when we did the performing musical artists and not being able to tour. It's like the margins that used to be already kind of low are just much lower. And it, now it's like on some, if we can't sell this shit out every time,
it's not
and people still ain't coming out the house in no pre-pandemic numbers, not for everybody. They might do it for Renaissance. They might do it for Tay Tay, but it's not a, hey, we coming out the house like this for everything. So I wonder if comedy is taking a hit, especially something as big as this festival with the names and the money that has to happen. And just that shit keeps dwindling down. And next thing you know, no show.
Yeah, and just for laughs, if you talk to comedians, a lot of comedians have either, I've heard them talking about it, or they've been on it, or they've been invited on it. So it's like a huge, huge, huge festival. And it's a big thing to actually be invited to.
People feel like it makes their careers. Like, it's a big deal. So, yeah, this is huge. Kellogg's CEO faces backlash for suggesting people should eat cereal for dinner to save money. He was recently on CNBC's Squawk Box on the Street. CEO Gary Pilnick discussed Kellogg's 2022 Cereal for Dinner campaign, featuring popular cereals like Corn Flakes and Fruit Loops, with a message encouraging consumers to give chicken the night off. The cereal category has always been quite affordable, and it tends to be a great destination for consumers when consumers are under pressure, he said. If you think about the cost of cereal for a family versus what they might otherwise do, that's going to be much more affordable.
As a generation who eats cereal, because the thing is, over the years, the younger generation, they don't eat cereal like we do. Like, they just don't. The studies have said that younger generations, they eat cereal, but not like we do. They do like the cereal bars and all this other shit. And
I like that this is where Karen knows her shit.
Yes, because I am a cereal connoisseur.
Who did the study? Who, not you, I'm not asking you to answer this, but that's one of them studies I go, well, why did y'all even do this study? And who is this for? And it's for Karen. We found out the answer together.
Yes. You know, and the thing is, nigga, you act like cereal is how it used to be. Cereal is fucking $6, $7, $8 a box, depending on how much you get. It ain't cheap.
I think with inflation increasing stuff for everybody, I think what he's trying to say is it's relatively cheap.
Ah, okay.
So like chicken wings, $20 now, but you know, cereal went up, but it's still cheaper than that 20. I think people getting mad at this are stupid. Because this is essentially their advertising campaign.
Because they want you to buy more cereal.
Yeah. He's Mr. Cereal. What do you think he thinks the fucking answer is? More
he's cereal. Mr. Cereal.
Everything. The answer to everything is more cereal to that
if
man.
If it was up to him, you eat cereal. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack.
Yeah, like, why? What's
fourth
the,
dinner.
Like, you just like to be upset if this nigga made you mad being like, I don't know, eat some cereal? It's like under his name is CEO of Kellogg. Like, nigga, he's cereal. It's like getting mad at Nino Brown thinking the answer is more crack. It's always going to be more crack to Nino. What's the problem?
Like somebody in the chat said, yeah, you get that cereal and don't fuck around, get that Captain Crunch, you're going to rip out your tongue.
Yeah.
Rip your mouth be off, cut up.
All right. Well, that's broke. For today, let's move into another segment. Let's do some fucking with black people. Boom. Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom. Hey, we're just fucking with them people because they black. We're just fucking with them people because they black. We're just fucking with them black people. We're just fucking with them blacks. We're just fucking with fucking the black people. Hey, hey,
Alabama implements ban on DEI programs and divisive concepts in education and state agencies. Yep. Kay Ivey, governor, signed a bill on Wednesday that prohibits diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives in public educational institutions and state agencies. This legislation, effective from October 1st, also aims to eliminate the teaching of divisive concepts, including the notion that an individual should feel guilt or complicity due to their race or gender. This law is part of a broader trend among Republican legislators to challenge DEI programs, which they argue exacerbate divisions and promote partisan viewpoints. Yeah, I think there's two parts to this. Number one, DEI training is not really what the fuck I asked for.
Mm-mm.
So this has always kind of been a half measure to a thing because the DEI people rarely have any authority. They're basically trotted out to say, we're going to educate everybody out of this. I don't think it's an education problem.
Mm-mm.
It's a racism problem. It's a bigotry problem. It's a misogyny problem. It's not like the motherfucker was like, oh, I just didn't realize in training I couldn't grab them titties. You know not to grab them titties. You didn't give a fuck. The only thing that could have made this shit work was some people with authority being like, uh-uh, we ain't doing that shit, you know? And they never give these people that authority in the first fucking place. So that's number one. But then number two, the signaling is what this is about. It's the we don't want no blacks, we don't want no gays. That's what they're really saying. It's the signal they want to send out is, this kind of training is divisive because we should hate gay people. We should not want black people. Of course, white people are better. Why are you making us feel bad by telling us statistically we're not better and we've actually been pretty unfair to everyone else? They don't want to hear that shit. They want it out of the schools. And now people are saying, like, the kids who get recruited for Alabama football, you know, those athletes and stuff, should boycott going to that university. To make a point to the state and then they'll repeal it somehow. All I'm saying is this. I find that to be so unrealistic.
Right.
That all it really serves to do is to make us place the blame on 17-year-old, 14, 15, what, you know, the ages you get recruited in high school. It's making us make young black kids looking for an opportunity through playing a sport at a place where you probably will get to go pro. we're essentially trying to make them the face of it, as if they are allowing this to happen, when there's an entire fucking state apparatus
right.
and voters who make shit like this happen. Those kids more than likely can't even vote in the Alabama election unless they're from Alabama. But even if they can vote, they can't change it by themselves. And them not coming or playing or whatever is more of a decision for parents and the professionals around them than it is for those kids. But I feel like what's going to happen now is you're going to have people blaming those kids for some racism. And that's why this Dracarys fucks with me.
Yeah, this is a whole ass Dracarys for the state. Alabama is ranked low in a lot of shit. When we do them state education, state poverty, you know, state unemployment, you know, per capita, how many people are on government assistance and how many people locked up, how many, you know, per person per jail capita. Alabama is ranking top in a lot of these goddamn lists. They have jerry-rigged everything. They have
gerrymandered
and shit, jerry-rigged too. Everything, you know, they have made it where Republicans win. They have suppressed the vote. They have done all these things so that they're at a place when they pass this shit, you can't do anything. And so this is back to me getting on my soapbox. This is one reason why I tell motherfuckers, when it come to goddamn voting, we need all 50 states count, bitch. All 50 states. Every single goddamn one of them count. And you know, the states that we know we're going to win, cool, but some of these other states, start pushing money down here to these states and helping these people out and forcing them to change these goddamn laws.
Right. So yeah, it's very offensive. You know what, that's it for fucking with black people. I don't want to do that anymore. Let's see what else we got here. How about some black capitalists?
Shout out to Will Smith. I hear y'all talking, but the only thing I'm listening to is that paper.
Every day we get into that paper. Woo! I hear the money talk, I see you later. Every day we get into that paper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Woo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hear the money talk, and see you later.
Don't think I forgot Harry Tubman's supposed to be on the $20 business.
Mariah Carey announces her return to Las Vegas for the celebration of Mimi residency.
Come on through. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that bitch is out. That shit probably pre-sold out.
April 12th through 27th. So yeah, she said, Vegas, I'm coming back to town with a new show.
Yep, and they're gonna be lined up to see her sing too.
And she get that money every time she do one of these.
Them bitches be sold out.
Let's see. Dr. Dre and Snoop launched a new beverage, alcoholic beverage inspired by the Gin and Juice song.
What's it called?
Let's see. It's called, I guess, Gin and Juice.
Keep it simple.
Why fuck up the formula?
Right.
It's called Gin and Juice. They'll have apricot, citrus, melon, and passion fruit.
If it's anything like Snoop Dogg's wine, it should be good. I liked his wine.
Yeah, his wine was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So shout out to them. You know, they always find a way to get to the money. Those,
yes, they do.
If you would have told me them motherfuckers right there was finna be like billion-ass niggas back when the Chronic dropped, I would have been like, you a damn lie.
Yeah, didn't see it. At that
time, I'd be like, they'd be lucky to even be alive then.
Right?
All they do is drugs and hang around with Death Row. And they made it out.
Mm-hmm.
Against all odds. Meghan Markle will sell makeup and body lotions through her new lifestyle brand, American Riviera Orchard, as she adds yoga mats, lavender sachets, I think, or sachets, I don't know, and dog shampoo to her ever-expanding business.
Go ahead on. And, you know, she left Spotify, and all she did was take her podcast and sold it to somewhere else, and they're going to re-crank that up again.
She getting her goop on right now.
Get your money.
Okay, Martha Stewart. Watch your back.
Mm-hmm.
Gwyneth Paltrow, watch out.
Right. You might, you know, they was like, well, you ain't going to be called no princess no more. I was like, well, bitch, she's still a princess as far as we concerned.
And you know what else I won't be? Having to lie about my cancer diagnosis or whatever the fuck.
I won't be photoshopping no fingers with the extra toe.
I don't need to hire no body doubles unless I'm on the set of Suits season whatever.
Right. And in fact, I can go back if I want to now.
I know she's so unbothered over here getting this money.
Mm-hmm.
Must be nice.
Must be.
We already talked about Beyonce's new hair care line, but I think we talked about her father defending it, but yeah, she did that.
Yes, she did.
Airbnb is partnering with viral Thanksgiving pals Jamal Hinton and Wanda Dench, allowing guests to meet them for dinner. This is old black capitalism, but it's before even Thanksgiving, but it is still black capitalism, so we do have to count it. I don't know if you remember, but this is them. Mm-hmm. Okay, you do remember them. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can never tell, Ken.
Yeah, because the father ended up passing.
Yeah. And so it's like an adorable story that we celebrate every Thanksgiving. Year. And it's black capitalism, guys. Let's be honest. He is celebrating, you know, with that Airbnb partnership.
Go ahead on. I'm not even mad at you.
Yep. All right. Let's see. What do we want to get out of here on, Karen? We can do white people news, guess the race. Which one you want to get out on?
Let's do white people news.
Karen's going to always go white people news, and you guys knew that. She never goes guess the race on y'all. It's too much pressure for her.
Right?
White people news. We're bringing excellent to the barbecue. We might be problematic or a little bit dim. That sounds really harsh on our fragile pieces. White people news.
Our girl Sophie Turner, who plays Sansa on Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Is already getting serious with Peregrine Pearson, and amid Joe Jonas' divorce, she couldn't be happier.
Who? I know who Joe Jonas is. He's one of Jonas' brothers, but I don't know that other person.
I don't either. Peregrine. I feel like they still making new white people. That's crazy. We ain't got enough yet. Peregrine. I don't even know if I said that right.
I don't know. It sounded like he was on Game of Thrones.
Ain't that a type of water?
A type of fruit? I don't know.
I feel like it's a fancy water that you, like, let me get some Peregrine. I'm going to need to cleanse my palate before the next course. But yeah, Sophie Turner and Peregrine Pearson's romance is heating up. The Game of Thrones alum is reportedly getting fairly serious, with British aristocrat. Oh, he's a British aristocrat. Months after they were first spotted kissing in the fall of 2023. So that's her and Joe Jonas. I think she's just very tall.
Yeah, she's a very tall woman.
They split. She got out of that Christian cult or whatever. And now she's hanging out with Peregrine.
Mm-hmm. Living her best life.
Mm-hmm. So
he's like, I climbed that tall tree.
Meanwhile, the Celebrate crooner sparked romance rumors with Stormy Bree earlier this month, who was an influencer. Stormy Bree?
Mm-hmm.
Sound like a type of cheese. These white people, boy.
You got that new Stormy Bree, girl. Yeah, it was delicious.
White people got a lot going on. It's like you get Stormy Bree at Trader Joe's.
Yeah, you do. Chad, I do not know who that is.
Oh, let me get some Stormy Bree to go with these Triscuits.
Yes.
Kendra Wilkinson says she got high the day after Hugh Hefner died, and she doesn't feel it's her responsibility to protect him. Yep. Mm. She went to a Sublime concert and got high the day after he died in 2017. I smoked a lot of weed. Looked at the end of the day. Look, at the end of the day, I owe Hef nothing. I'm not going to sit here and protect him. Hugh Hefner decided to date millions of girls, right? That's not my responsibility. And whatever happened with him, with his relationships, that's his thing. It's not my responsibility to protect the man for his life choices. She rose to fame during her time in the mansion in 2004 to 2009. Mm-hmm. But being under the public eye and living in the mainstream, in the mansion, came with some challenges. She said Playboy messed up her whole life. Playboy did. She's had anxiety and depression, which she has been hospitalized for after she suffered a series of panic attacks. I think she also dated a James Thrash or some Eagles wide receiver.
One period of time.
On reality TV for a while.
That didn't last. I don't know if they seem mad now, but I know the show didn't last.
And they said, since Hefner's death, multiple allegations against him have surfaced, including sexual assault. So I guess that's what she's saying. Like, I'm not going to say. Well, that's the right thing to say. Just because it didn't happen to you, you shouldn't be out here being like, well, them bitches lying. So What was she supposed to say?
Right.
But also, like, I don't know. Are people surprised Hugh Hefner wasn't the, that he had some issues respecting women? I mean, come on, man.
He had 25 of the same model.
Right. The marketing on that shit might have been made him seem feminist to, like, some women wrote about it in a feminist way, but Playboy was also about titties and not respecting women. Like, the Playboy Mansion wasn't because of his enormous consensual fun. It was a lot of, like, this is where famous guys go to get blown, and the women in here better know they better do it. That's what they were really selling. A hiker was brutally gored by a yak while FaceTiming family on Everest climb.
Chad, a yak was like, watch your back.
She was yik-yakking.
Yes, she was. The wrong type of yik-yakking. My yik-yakking, I'm normally running my lips and talking in a non-yak area.
Yeah, well, she was yakking in the yak area on FaceTime with her family. Emma Keene, 42.
Chad, don't be around these animals not paying no attention.
Was taking part in the charity hike when she was attacked in the village of Tingbosh, Nepal. I was speaking to my brother and his wife and their son, Bobby, showing them the yak on FaceTime. Well, did you get the yak's consent?
How far away were you?
Without warning, I could hear the hooves pounding towards me, a sharp stabbing pain in the top of my leg. It threw me up in the air around 3 feet. I landed back down with a thud. Another member of Keene's group said he ran to her aid and found her screaming in pain. I could quickly see the yak's horn had gone through Emma's leg with a big hole in her hiking leggings and blood running down her leg. She was airlifted to a hospital for treatment before rejoining the group to complete the last part of the trek on horseback.
Yeah, it is definitely white.
That's cheating.
Yeah, this is definitely white people news, because they're animals. They are animals, and they, you know, a lot of people tell you, give animals space, give animals room. Certain animals, they tell you, just walk the fuck around them. Like, they tell you this shit, and it was like, ooh, I'm on Instagram, you. And you know, most of these animals can run and move faster than the average human being. So, yeah, that yak was like, bitch, what? And stabbed you.
Taylor 2.0, Sexy Swift is demure no more as she rocks sizzling thong bikini in Bahamas with Travis Kelce, making her trademark modest two pieces and cover costumes a thing of the past.
Oh, shit now.
She is like, I'm getting dicked down and y'all need to know about this, okay? During her 2 decades in the spotlight, she has become known for her twee style and elegant looks as her catchy tattoos. Yet, the cardigan hitmaker, 34, appears to have undergone an image overhaul as of late, as she was spotted putting on a sizzling display in the Bahamas on Thursday. She was with Travis Kelce. They're both 34. The blonde beauty opted for a racy yellow bikini from Montsi, with the top marketing for $143 and the bottoms marketing for $94, which showcased her abs and cleavage.
Yeah, I don't know how much the top and the bottom cost.
The look was far removed from the beach styles of days gone by, having previously favored one-piece suits or high-waisted bikini bottoms. Showing the contrast of her attitude to both her looks and love, in 2016, she was seen with her boyfriend Tom Hiddleston looking wrapped up before later enjoying a world-famous trip to the beach while she rocked a high-neck bikini.
That's Loki, ain't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so she changing it. She with a different dude.
Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing wrong with changing the look up.
And we've all seen what Travis is into. He don't like people wearing a lot of clothes, okay?
That is not his thing.
He not intimidated by that like some of these other dudes might be as well. So she thought, I can go ahead and finally set him out on y'all, you know? And I'm not going to talk bad about her butt or body at all or any of that stuff. Because I know that's what y'all would do, but I'm not going to. And I actually think she probably heard the all back rumors and wanted to, like, clap back. No pun intended.
Right.
So, good for y'all. Bus driver caught receiving oral sex in high-vis jacket before beside double-decker. High vis jacket. I'm sorry, I said high vis. High visibility. Those like construction looking jackets.
Oh, so the double decker was getting decked. Double decked.
The double dictor.
Getting slop on my knob.
But yeah, they have a picture here. It was like in front of, it's like they were trying to make some OnlyFans content.
Oh shit! They wasn't even trying to hide. That was all out in
the
open.
Side of the road, right by outside of the corn. That's perfectly good corn. To cover your tracks if you want, but they said, nah.
Y'all could have went on that a little further. Y'all could actually, if you would have moved 2 feet to the left, you would have been out of view.
I think they wanted us to see.
Oh.
They don't sound like they caught the bus driver yet, but I mean,
he's driving a big ass bus. I mean, all you gotta do is find the name of the bus.
Who takes Route 95?
That's all you need to know.
Crime solved.
Yes.
You know what you need? A bus pass and a schedule.
That's all you need. And they can tell you who was driving at that time.
Man. But yeah, that's some wild stuff. Just wait for the OnlyFans video to pop up. That's how I know.
Yes. Yeah.
They're like, oh, Queen Rogue was fucking people in the Home Depot. I'm like, okay, well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
Wait for the leak to drop.
Right down here dogging. You're like, what?
You're right. They wild over there.
They is. Yes, sir.
All right. I'm hungry.
Okay.
And I want to get something to eat.
Yay.
So I'm ready to wrap this up. But okay. Not before we talk about, of course, sword ratchetness, and then we'll be back tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. No show Wednesday.
Possibly no show tomorrow. Just depends.
Yeah, depends. Yes. Yeah, that was a bus ride in the show. A show on the side of the bus.
Okay. I don't know if that's reference to something. Or...
Oh, we were just seeing Jimmy giving a dude a blowjob on the side of the road.
Oh, I know, but you said it's a bus ride in the show. I was just saying, I didn't know if that was
it somebody
reference.
On the bus? I don't know.
I don't know. Ah. I didn't know. It looked like it was empty to me, but who knows? I thought you were trying to make a reference to something else that I just didn't catch.
No. I was staying on topic. At least I thought I was.
No, you were. You said it in your patented, this is a reference, cadence. And I was like, oh, to like a movie or something, but it's not. It's just, anyway.
My bad.
One arrested after machete attack at Tampa Wawa. Wawa being a
Wawa is a real store.
Yeah, gas
okay.
station, I believe. Let's see if this will play with sound. This is like they just okay. When the new, you know what? Not to go out jail, Coban.
Come on through jail. Tell them why you mad. Rain on their parade.
Not to get out jail, Coban. But I'm so goddamn sick of these news people. Who just take the raw video from the incident they're talking about, post it on their social, on their like website, and you're a real news station, and you don't have an anchor.
Somebody explain it.
You don't have a lead. You don't have anybody say anything. This is even worse than when they only make it a caption, which is probably just some AI because they took the real fucking editor out of business and shit.
Uh-huh.
But and I know it's hard to make money, it's hard to make a living, da da da. But you're talking about you're the news website that is attached to the news station. Like, y'all do have employees at Fox 13.
Yes,
why
you
would
do.
You ever post the raw video and not the evening news version of the it. Video? Like,
but you showing clips while you actually explaining to other people what's happening and what's going on.
Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense to post it that way, but they do that a lot, where it's just like, here's the raw video from TikTok. And I'm like, no, I don't need to hear a person explain to me.
Right. Maybe I'm old. I was like, I don't want to see the clip. You tell me what's happening. That's your job.
Yeah. Anyway. One person was arrested after an alleged machete attack at a Wawa in Tampa over the weekend. Left one person injured. It was about 6:16 p.m. on a Sunday. There was a disturbance between two men. Video shows a man brandishing a machete outside the convenience store, arguing with another man as the other man called the cops. A photo sent by the viewer shows a gash on the arm, allegedly sustaining the attack. Police said one person was taken into custody. And we couldn't be bothered to send anyone out there to ask anybody shit. So,
right.
Just read it like this. All right, guys. That's it. Thanks for listening. We'll be back.
Thank you.
Until next time. I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.